the 2020 Q's Symposium on the Big Island of Hawaii. And in the studio lounge is Mr. Kirk Kordeleski from OM Financial Group. Kirk, how are you?
I am great, Mike. Wonderful to be here. Wonderful to be with Q's, right?
They
just do such an amazing job. Mm-hmm. We learn. I think somebody said just a few moments ago their IQ raises by a few points.
A little bit.
And boy, we all have that experience.
Yeah, it's an A-plus event for sure. Let's talk about board and CEO governance, something that's been talked about a lot here for sure. And you have some experience with this, being a former credit union CEO. So what's worked, what didn't, that type of stuff? What do you want to talk about?
So this conference is really about it, because the CEO and chairman relationship that is built and prospers, grows at this conference, right? And so I think it's so critical to think about this in a way that is realistic to the industry and realistic to performance for credit unions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Q's is doing, and I think that's what D.D. Myers and others are doing within the industry. And I'll touch on both of those in a moment.
Okay.
But if you think about it in a way, our industry is changing in ways we've never changed before, right? I've had the blessing of being in this wonderful industry for almost 40 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
I started as a part-time teller. And grew up to lead what I am very proud of at Bethpage Credit Union. And now I've been doing consulting and some other work over the years. But it's an extraordinary industry, but we've never seen this change. And I was there in 1980 when we were allowed to do checking accounts. I mean, so I've seen the spectrum of it, right? And now with this digital revolution, the competitiveness from fintech, so the world that we're in, it's really important to think about how the governance structure can work and work effectively. Mm-hmm. And I think what we talk about at these conferences and the people that come to this conference particularly work on is this idea of that there can be friction in a relationship between a board and a CEO as long as it's aligned with strategy.
Okay.
And it can be constructive friction where ideas are exchanged and the process improves, or there can be destructive criticism and challenges where the relationship deteriorates. And I think a couple examples of things that work and a couple examples that don't. A couple examples that work, and D.D. Myers, who's helping sponsor this and do some work, they do a marvelous job, because they bring together the CEO, particularly when a new CEO comes in, with the chairman of the board. They spend 3/4 of a day, and they talk about what success looks like, what challenges look like, and then how to overcome those challenges. Really important. I would advise that for any credit union out there. And particularly even when a chairman changes, CEO stays, but the chairman changes in a natural rotation, work out how to have that conversation so that the governance model continues to flow successfully. Successful model isn't a unanimous vote all the time, right? And the CEOs that just work on a unanimous vote sometimes aren't urgent enough, don't move fast enough, because they're always trying to get that. Find a way to deal with constructive friction. Q's. The other great example that's going on, because of this conference and because of bringing the chairman and the CEO together, they have a chance to spend time together. It doesn't happen to be friend to friend. It should be business to business. But at the same time, it allows for that relationship to prosper on knowledge, right? On new ideas and on concepts. And so I think those two things are crucial, and any board that has the opportunity should take the chance.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
And you think about our industry in another way, we have a challenge, right? And we should acknowledge that challenge. Our boards are made up of extraordinary people who donate their time and effort to an incredibly complex business and give up many, many hours to do so. They're passionate about it. But sometimes they're not financial people, all right? And so the friction needs to, the conversation about friction, the answers to those issues needs to have a constructive basis. And I think that's what we learn here and how to do. If you don't mind, I'll give you two examples.
Please do.
Don't work.
Please do.
So I'm familiar with two credit unions, thank God not in my history, but ones I've worked with over time and practices. One of them was looking for a new CEO. CEO retired, long time, great, great leader, but big shoes to fill. And they had an internal candidate that was really powerful and capable. So there was a process, a succession process that made sense. But in order to avoid conflict and friction, they decided to go out to the outer market and look for people. And that process took time. And it became more and more frustrating. And because there wasn't a process to deal with that emotional frustration and conflict, that great candidate walked away.
Oh my God.
And so now it's open to an entire new strategy, a hiring person. So that's why dealing with challenging issues in a productive way and understanding that we're going to disagree sometimes and that that's good is really important. The second issue is a board that tried to deal with it but didn't put in a governance structure that they agreed to beforehand. They just tried to implement something. And in that, they caused such friction between the board, and the board dissected into multiple groups. And for the next almost decade, they had friction on that board. And it's because you've got to deal with it. You have to accept that unanimous decisions won't always happen, and that we're on this to give our own input and to grow, and the success of the organization is what's important, right? And so those things can happen in the void of some of these other things.
Right.
So what's the secret to having a board that's aligned and not get to a point to of your two examples that just didn't quite work out? So what is there a secret sauce, or is there like a couple of things that a board can do to be aligned, to make sure everyone's on the same page and keep the conflict to a minimum?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things that come to mind. There's probably many more.
I'm sure.
But one of them is discipline at the board. And that sounds a little strange, but it is this process of making sure that all the conversations happen at the board, not in parking lots, not at dinner tables, not in private calls or emails. If we've got a challenge with the management or we got a challenge between board members, let's talk it out.
Transparency?
Transparency and honesty. Reality, right? I think the other aspect is that when there is conflict, or particularly if there isn't performance by management or the board, you deal with that when everyone is aware of it. Don't keep pushing it down the road, because all that does is build a governance structure, a culture of not dealing with the facts of the matter.
And the successes, you definitely want to measure those. File those away and go, hey, this is what we did here, similar situation, so let's keep going that way. So you want to just focus on the negative, you want to really focus, you want to acknowledge the positive as well. Right?
Really important is that, and for most part, the credit unions are tremendously successful. And so when you look at that, you need to understand the what made up that success. And often it is new ideas and strategy and finance and these core principles. So keep to those.
Yep. Indeed. All right, I want to switch gears a little bit about, I guess, maybe a transition to OM Financial Group.
Sure.
Or give us a lay of the land. What's going on there?
Yeah, thank you. And it really ties both subjects together. And I'll get to that point in a moment. But yes, I'm moving over as a consulting partner with OM Financial. I'm still working with my partners and friends with John Best and Big at Best Innovation Group. And we'll continue to support them in the transition. But OM Financial does something that is really motivational to me, and it helps answer some of those problems or challenges that we just talked about. This industry, then this environment that we're going in, really four major influences that are changing who we are as an industry. One is demographics. A lot of people my age retire, right? You know, and so what do we do about that void in leadership, particularly if those leaders believed in the credit union philosophy and knew how to run a low margin, excellent retail banking business. Not as easy to find as you might think. Second is incredible competition, right? We've never seen so many fintechs and big banks and big retails coming in to take our checking account business or our lending business. You know, third is this amazing influence that's occurring from outside influences into the industry about things like additional charter space, right? So credit unions now have whole states or whole regions that they're doing business in. So the regulatory environment has changed in a way that is about growth and success. So we change the model in each of those three aspects. OM Financial. So OM Financial provides executive benefits, particularly SERP retirement benefits. So how does that connect to this, right? The important part is that leadership and the performance of the organization is about trying to find the commonality that will support strategy, support the cultural organization of the credit union, the belief in the philosophy of it, member value, right, returning member value, and fairness. And the right constructed executive benefits, so SERPs, keep the senior team in place and allow them to evolve into a financial situation that is similar to stock-owned companies. And if you don't do that, you miss this piece of long-term benefit that credit unions need to do. because our retail, our business model, our retail banking executives are the finest in the business. And, you know, it's easy for me to say, and it may sound a bit industry supportive, but think about, we run this business on the lowest margin possible without access to capital, and we continue to grow and win market share in a digital world, right? Those people are valuable.
It's an amazing story in itself right there.
That's right. So need to retain them, right? And you need these plans that show certainly compensation and base in short term, but also long term. And I think OM's products, and the reason why I joined them, really solve the problem better than anybody, because they provide a benefit to the credit union and a benefit to the executive that is tax advantage and long term.
Indeed. Kirk, my gosh, I don't know if I want to have your schedule. You got two company and all this type of stuff, but well, kudos to you for 40 years in this industry. My gosh, starting out as a part-time teller, and to be where you are today, it's an amazing story right there, you know?
And I love the industry as much today as I ever had. And thank you, Mike, for doing this, because bringing all this stuff to us in a way that we can consume it on a daily basis and learn is incredibly powerful.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And always enjoy having you on, Kirk. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
Enjoy the rest of the conference. Enjoy the island.
I'm off to-